comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Nerd Rage. Nerd Rage. Now, here are the nerds.
Welcome to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hey, guess what? I'm in studio this week.
So am I.
Oh my gosh.
Shocking.
We're all together.
I'm still in studio.
You're always in studio,
you are,
Micah.
Always there.
That's the treat.
Don't jinx me.
Okay.
All right.
Well, welcome to the Nerd Show. You've got Scott Magerflesh to my right, Micah behind the glass sitting across from us, and me, Nick Kenny. We're also known as...
Darth Monger.
Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
I have to apologize for last week. I was I had invited a friend of mine, Emilio, to join us in the studio,
and he did phenomenal. By the way, he was way better than you were.
I assumed it would be. He would be. We golfed that day, and I'd talked to him a few weeks ago about Guardians. He'd go, I'd love to be on when you talk Guardians. Of course, I wasn't here. I got a text right before we went live, and I had to cover. Something. I just had to get across town as quickly as possible. And Emilio told me the next day, or he called me that night, he goes, dude, I thought you were pulling a prank on me.
Yeah.
Like, Nick's coming back, right? Like, he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's around the corner. He
did have
back.
A longing look the entire time.
Oh.
Like a sad puppy.
What a great prank, though. Like, what a fantastic prank that could be.
It could be, but it wasn't.
Well, I know, but there's potential for the future, too.
Yeah. So I couldn't complain a whole lot. I was in San Jose, and I was outside, and I had, you know, a couple fingers of whiskey and a cigar while we were doing the show. So I was pleased as punch.
Well, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah. Did you kill that bird, by the way? Because there was a bird in the background that was really upsetting me, and then suddenly it went away.
No, it flew away.
Oh, thank God.
Somebody walked by it close enough that it decided that it was leaving. So
Was it you?
No.
Okay, good.
Good to that Good Samaritan. So I'm assuming, at least for my edification, I hope, that Guardians got a nerd stamp of approval?
It did not.
Oh.
No.
I'm shocked and hurt.
I'm not sure why you're shocked.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Micah.
Well, I think the problem with it was a lot of the jokes didn't land. I need to go reevaluate. I'm not really happy with how I scored it. I think maybe I should have given it a more positive review, but I wouldn't buy it.
Oh my gosh. Well,
but I think it was better than what I felt last week. I probably need to see it again once it's on Disney Plus, if it doesn't get purged. Which, by the way, Disney Plus is purging things.
I don't think they're going to purge the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty going on right now, and although I did hear, I believe it was Disney, and I don't remember what titles were, but they removed a few titles. A bunch of fans got really upset about it. And
yeah,
they
three titles
it.
That I've heard of.
Yeah, and then
that's between Hulu. No, four. That's between Hulu and Disney Plus. I've heard of four of those things.
Yeah, I don't know, but people complained and they brought them back. So I don't know that we're going to see, you know, that they would kill all of the MCU or parts of it or whatever else. I don't know.
Are those rumors floating around?
Yeah. I mean, there's rumors, I mean, to Micah's point, that they've said that they're going to start, you know, things are not long for this universe. You think about, like, HBO Max has been doing it for a long time. As soon as they kind of, like, have their library, and I don't know what the concept is behind it, but they, like, well, things are leaving soon. And it's not like they no longer have the rights to show them. I feel like that they're just trying to keep their kind of their library a little bit fixed. Hmm. And then that way you can't see anything whenever you want, and you kind of have to go through other elements. But then when they bring it back, it kind of brings some excitement. So I don't know if that's what, you know, Disney Plus may do or what Hulu was doing. But
I think what it was is they were trying to save some money. And a lot of this stuff was not making them money. Willow was one of the things that they were going to pull. And as from what I know, Willow was kind of a dud. It has like a really hardcore audience, and then nobody else cares.
No, I think that's true.
I tried getting through the first episode, and it was rough. It was it wasn't very good acting. It wasn't a very compelling storyline, and with limited time and with all this great content out there across not just Disney Plus, but I mean, all the subscriptions that I have now that's amounting to a normal cable bill, you know, there's a lot of other options. And if you can't lock and hook in a viewer in the first season, even halfway into that, you see that drop off from the first couple episodes. That's a strong indicator. Oh, hopefully the story gets stronger and you can bring them back. But yeah, Willow was a disappointment. A few others have been too.
And I guess I don't quite understand the economics behind some of this from a streaming perspective, because for the new story development, like you talked about Willow, I completely get that. There's no reason for us to make a season two if season one is so bad and nobody's going to show it. I mean, you're investing millions of dollars into that. But if you already own the rights to a program, whether it's a movie or a series or whatever else, I don't understand what the financial gain and benefit of that
tax write-off
gets you. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it's you literally can write it off from a tax perspective, or you can keep your portfolio at a certain value. And if you have too many titles, then your value goes too high and you don't want that to be. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if I'm watching Disney Plus and there's a show on it that I can't watch, I'm going to be bummed. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the library being large enough that I'm like, hey, I'm going to go watch this obscure, I want to go watch The Black Hole again, or, you know, I want to watch 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And what is the cost-benefit analysis of doing that versus not? And reality, you're talking about storage on their server platform that is available for live streaming services. But outside of that, I don't know what the economics are.
Do they sell it to Netflix, though? Let's say they take that off and then Netflix picks it up.
Maybe.
They're making money off of that. So
yeah.
People who are like, dang it, I wanted to watch Willow. It was my favorite as a child. Why isn't it on Disney Plus? Oh, it's on Netflix? And then they subscribe to Netflix and Disney gets a cut of that.
Maybe. That's a great possibility.
If it's not, I might be for hire for those Disney executives listening in on how to maximize the losses that you've incurred. Speaking of budgets.
That brings up an interesting question, because if you go to Amazon, there's a ton of stuff that you can watch. You have to pay for it. And a lot of it you have to pay for. You have to pay a lot of money for. Like I can watch Dungeons and Dragons, which I did last night, or Sunday night. We're recording on Monday. I watched Dungeons and Dragons, and I saw it for free on Paramount Plus. Or if I didn't have Paramount Plus and I didn't want to sign up for it, I could have gone to Amazon
and rented it.
Yeah, it would have been $20.
Yeah,
but I could have done that.
Yeah, I kind of have to shop around. If it's something's on there that I want to watch, I'm like, well, next time it'll be here soon.
Yeah.
But budgets, I like big budgets, and I cannot lie, but Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny, $300 million budget. Do you think a lot of that's the de-aging that they have to do for good old Harrison Ford?
I would suspect that that has something to do with it.
I mean, that's an enormous budget for
a
film.
Well, and not just him. I mean, we think about some of the other actors that are playing a part, and then there's a younger version of that. That we're seeing, and I think, what is it? It's one of the, isn't it Mads Mikkelsen that's in it that plays kind of the bad guy?
Why are they bringing somebody in who wasn't in the originals and de-aging him?
Well, I think because there's some story arc that we haven't seen that is part of what was going on, you know, in the younger indie days. That explains why he's been looking for this Dial of Destiny for 30 or 40 years. I mean, they have to create a little bit of backstory. And you have to have the current character involved in it some way, shape, or form.
Do you think that this might tie back to Indy's dad and maybe The Notebook? Do you think we'll see that again?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I feel like that this is more about him as an adult sort of handing off the reins to, you know,
the gal?
The actress that is playing, you know, kind of the counterpart is the
Illinois
lead in
Jones.
This. Yeah, could
yeah.
Be.
So we're not handing it off to Shia LaBeouf, are we?
We are not. I don't believe that he's in this film. So, and I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, we can certainly talk about Indiana Jones in the next segment. But
yeah, because you and I were tossing a question around back and forth, and I'm curious to see. I'd love to flesh that out in the next segment and kind of see where we're at. But I think we should make people wait until we get back to even tell them what we're doing.
Before we go, last minute, does my vote count to amend the Guardians' approval?
Sure.
I vote yes. Still no?
Yeah, none of us really gave it the 8.5.
I thought it.
Whatever.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's yeah. fine. Hmm. Stay tuned. We'll be back for more Nerd Show. I'll try not to pout too long.
Sad Nick. Yeah.
Nerdians, you're listening to the Nerd Show here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Breaking news from 2 days ago. Ray Stevenson, who does have a role in the upcoming Star Wars series Ahsoka, has passed away. He's been in a lot of nerdy stuff, not necessarily as a main character, but we do see him prominently displayed in the Ahsoka trailer.
Yeah.
And he allegedly was a Jedi turned Dark Jedi who worked for Grand Admiral Thrawn. So he's sadly passed us at 58 years old. He was one of the Mighty Three who worked with Thor in all of the Thor movies. He's had another, you know, just a variety of supporting character roles in the nerd universe. So we'll see how much this impacts the Ahsoka story, if he's an integral character, and what that means for future seasons. And also thank him for, well, contributing a lot from the side.
And Jim Brown also passed away.
Yes.
So, actor and legendary running back.
Yeah.
Oy. May. Well, we're on the cusp, about a little over a month out of the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which I think might be the most highly anticipated blockbuster of the year, unless you guys know of something more. Transformers, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say nothing comes to mind, but not Transformers.
No?
No.
No, I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, the Indiana Jones.
I mean, I'm across the Spider-Verse movie, I'm anticipating that, but.
That actually looks really good. I loved the first one.
That's actually, I would say that's my favorite of the Spider-Man movies, of all the Spider-Man movies. That would be my favorite.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, what? You should.
Does that surprise you guys?
It does a little bit.
Surprises and angers me.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Those two go hand in hand with you, Micah.
That's true. I'm angry at a lot of things.
Well, we're highly anticipated. It's been, do we really want to count the Crystal Skull? Yeah, it's technically an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, it is. But, okay, so I have to say this. Yeah, there was a lot of crap in Indiana Jones, and the very end got weird. But one thing that kind of redeemed it for me is finding out that the Crystal Skull thing actually exists.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's actually a mythological thing. I thought they just pulled some BS out of their butts. But apparently it exists in mythology, in Earth mythology. I don't know where it comes from, but some people actually believe that.
It was in the South American cultures, the Aztec and the Mayans.
Yeah.
And one thing about Indiana Jones and all of the movies is those are all referenced somewhere in history. So it's not necessarily all sci-fi. Of course, the effects of all of it are entertaining, and we have yet to see any of that in existence on Earth. But
I don't know, man. We Marion and Indy might have just sworn themselves to secrecy, or there's some other similar characters like that somewhere that were on a little tiny island, and all the Nazis got burnt and melted.
Perhaps.
That could have happened.
It could be a great documentary.
You know, or there's, you know, some Mayan king somewhere that can, you know, pull your heart out of your chest if he so chooses. So
exactly.
We just don't know about it.
Kalima. Well, Indiana Jones has been with us for about a little over 40 years. And one question that I have for Scott and for Micah is, when you hear the name Harrison Ford, what first comes to mind? Is it Indiana Jones? Is it Han Solo? Or is it one of the other characters he's played throughout his pretty lengthy career?
Do we have to stay just in the pop culture, sci-fi, fantasy kind of world, or can it be anything?
I mean, it can be anything, but I mean, if you're hearing Harrison Ford's name, your mind first goes to
Indy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it goes.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured you, such a Star Wars fan, you'd say Han Solo.
Well, and you know, I thought about this a lot when we were kind of throwing it around in text before the show. And here's part of it for me. Harrison Ford didn't want Han Solo to continue to live after the end of Empire Strikes Back. He petitioned George Lucas that Han Solo dies. And so knowing that that was not his, it was not his baby, he didn't want to do it again. And, you know, I think he kind of came back and did it, you know, begrudgingly. You know, he did. I think the Indiana Jones, there's never been that element of strife. I think that is much more in line with who Harrison Ford is as a human being, as an individual. So I think it fits him better. I think he did good as that, you know, but I still think of, you know, things like The Fugitive. I think of, you know, American Graffiti. I think of, you know, Air Force One. I mean, I love
get
that scene.
Get off my plane.
You know, just all of those elements. I mean, he played, you know, Jack Ryan a little bit after Alec Baldwin did. I mean, so he's done a lot of these different things. And so I, you know, can appreciate that. But if I think about Harrison Ford, the character that he plays that personifies him the most, I believe, is always going to be Indiana Jones for me.
What about Rick Deckard?
See, now I'm a huge fan of the Blade Runner series. But again, it doesn't quite get there for me. Now, I think Blade Runner is a better film than any of the Indiana Jones films out there.
Which version? Because there are like three different versions.
Well, I think the final cut, which is 3.5 hours long, I really appreciate. So,
but I would agree with you.
Yeah, you got to go with that. But again, that is one role that he played, and then he got to resurrect it 30 years later, and the story really wasn't about him. So for me, it doesn't ring true, you know, Harrison Ford, oh, he's Decker, you know, that still is there, but first and foremost, it's always going to be Indy. What about you, Micah?
I'm going to say Han Solo, but he's got so many really good characters, even when I don't think he's that great, he's still pretty decent. He was in 42 and I didn't really care for him in 42.
But you've got to give him credit. He played that character so well.
I don't know.
I think he did.
He wasn't my favorite character.
Remind me who he played? Because it's the jockey, Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, he played the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Branch Rickey.
Yeah, Branch Rickey. And Branch Rickey, that from what I've read and, you know, being a baseball fan and everything else, from what I've read and what I've been able to explore, that's exactly how Branch Rickey operated. That's how he looked. That's how he talked. That's how he interacted with people. I mean, he was kind of a no-nonsense guy, but he was definitely ahead of his time. So I think that was one that Harrison probably should have been considered for, you know,
Supporting actor.
Right. I don't know if he was or not when that movie came out. I just remember Chadwick Boseman just killed it as Jackie Robinson. But it's like you had two great icons on screen for that movie. So
I did like the movie. It's not my favorite sports movie. Alan Tudyk. So what a risk to take being such like a really huge nerd icon.
Yeah.
And then you have to be this incredibly racist, despicable person that, like, I could not play that character. I would not want to play that character. He played the hell out of that character. I don't know how an actor would do that. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah. I think that speaks to the depth and the capabilities of Alan Tudyk, and I don't want to get too far off script here because we're talking about Harrison Ford, but I think it speaks to him as an actor and what he can do and his range. You know, I mean, I will always think of, we think about Harrison Ford. When you say Alan Tudyk to me, he's always going to be Wash to me.
Yep.
He will always be Wash. But he has played so many other things and done such a great job with it that sometimes you don't even realize that's who it is. Especially with a lot of the voice work that he's done. But yeah, that was one of those moments where I think he's going, I have to play this exactly the way that this individual, because it's a historical, you know, individual. This person really existed. And I loved how well they recreated that Sports Illustrated cover photo when the two of them were together, because it's very similar to the one that actually took place. And, you know, he was able to do that, knowing that it was important to the story. So. I like that. But so you're Han Solo. I'm Indy. Nick?
Han.
You're a Han Solo guy.
And a lot of your guide, too, Scott, was, you know, we know he enjoyed Indy more than he enjoyed Han Solo. But I enjoyed Star Wars far before I got into Indiana Jones. So for me, just Harrison Ford's name pops up. Star Wars.
That's what you think of. Yeah.
I saw Star Wars and Indiana Jones both in my childhood. They both came out around the same time. I remember seeing both of them on VHS as a kid around the age of 10, maybe earlier. So he's iconic in both. I will always remember him for both, plus The Fugitive, plus Witness, which was not that great of a movie. But even in some of the movies that he's not that great in, and maybe I misjudged him in 42, I don't know anything about that couch. But even the stuff that I don't really care for, he's still a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
One of the best.
I think the thing for me was I was like, if you look at a photo of Harrison Ford today, who exactly do you see?
Well, of course, it's Han Solo or Indiana Jones.
Yeah. And I think for me, because of who he's aged into and who he's continued to be, it's always going to be Indy. So. I love that we have different takes on that and different perspectives. It'd
just don't
boring.
Take his, don't steal his family.
Don't
he'll
steal
come
his family.
After you.
No, that's Liam Neeson.
No, he'll grab you, he'll shake you, and say, "Give me back my family."
Which one's that one?
And there are like a bunch of them.
You're thinking
he'll give me back my family.
Taken?
No, that's Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's Liam Neeson.
They're both give me back my family guys.
Well.
We'll have to dig into that during the break and figure out which movie Micah's talking about, because I have no idea.
Especially that accent. We'll be back in a second with more Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show, as we're just chatting around the mics in the studio. Scott, Micah, myself.
But before we get too far into it, why do they always send the poor?
What?
That's my System of a Down impression.
Oh, that was the lyrics.
I was listening to System of a Down today, and I decided I'm going to play BYOB on the Nerd Show today.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
All right.
Speaking, to piggyback on and expand upon and or move on from the Harrison Ford, we're curious what you think. What does Harrison Ford remind you of? Some of the best or maybe not the greatest roles on the spectrum. But recently I finished on Apple Plus the first season of Shrinking with Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, and a couple of other just recognizable actors, but I can't remember their names. And he plays a therapist who has his own practice and has Parkinson's, and it's pretty dang good. I would recommend it.
Okay.
Shrinking on Apple Plus. This is not brought to you by Apple Plus, but I'm liking to see. I just finished or watched the A Man Called Otto this past weekend. It was phenomenal, and Tom Hanks was a bitter, grumpy, rude old man. Which is, aside from the word man, none of the words we usually associate with Tom Hanks. And he performed it absolutely stunningly. So if you've not yet seen A Man Called Otto, that's on Netflix. And wow, that'll take you on an emotional journey.
Yeah, I was told to avoid that for certain specific reasons that are relevant to me. So I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's heavy. But gosh, just seeing Tom Hanks showcase his – I mean, we've seen – everything from Tom Hanks, from, storming the beaches of Normandy to living alone on an island with his best pal, Wilson.
To dressed as a woman to get a cheap apartment.
That was on the TV series early in his career.
Yes. Bosom I never buddies. Saw that show.
Bosom Buddies.
So I'm stranded in an airport for a long time.
Yep.
Jeez. That era of actors is probably – they're winding down their careers. Tom Hanks, Harrison Ford – boy, it's going to be tough.
It is.
Well, aside from that, summer blockbusters, I can only think Transformers Rise of the Beasts, which I think takes place before the first Transformers movie we've seen from Michael Bay. I think it takes place in the 90s. I'll say I really enjoyed the last one, where there was a lot less human involvement, and the humans are actually the bad guys, and you get more, I don't know, what do they call Autobot bounty hunter type things. It was a much better story than any of the movies beforehand. So I'm kind of looking forward to Rise of the Beasts, and I think it's under a different director. Am I right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So we'll expect a lot fewer explosions if it's not Michael Bay.
Probably, although I am going to go out right now and protest again. My favorite Autobot, they have completely destroyed, and I'm just not happy about it.
From the get-go, too.
I mean, like, right? Literally, it's like we finally get an opportunity to see Mirage, and he's a Porsche. Mm. I mean, come on.
A Porsche paid a lot of money for that.
Great. I don't care.
Thanks, Micah.
I don't care. That's not Mirage.
By the way, does The Little Mermaid count as a summer blockbuster? I'm not going to see it because the cartoon is fine the way it is.
Could be.
Yeah, I'd say it's a summer blockbuster.
I'm betting that makes money.
Well, and I like that my biggest beef with the live-action Mulan was that they didn't have... what's the little dragon name? Eddie Murphy's character.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about, and I can't think
of the
name.
Not Zazu. That's the Lion King.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the live action.
Mushu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen a lot of the Disney movies past the Lion King, except for Frozen, but I watched that with my niece when she was 3 or 4. And when you're watching a movie with a 3 or 4-year-old, you're not really watching the movie. You're listening to them comment about how funny the movie is.
I'll tell you, Disney movies are fantastic. Now that I'm older, you pick on so many innuendos that are taking place and just shenanigans that I think helped to keep parents engaged and interested. Kind of like Shrek. They did a phenomenal job of making it not just for kids. But with The Little Mermaid coming out, I'm curious to see how they do the live action, all the under the sea stuff. But also I'm glad that they have Sebastian and that there is... Under the Sea. I mean, cutting the music from Mulan, it just wasn't a Disney live action. I mean, it seems kind of strange, but like Lion King, where you have lions singing.
I think Melissa McCarthy's going to play the octopus.
Yeah, ooh. She does play Ursula.
So I'm actually going to take it back. I will watch any Melissa McCarthy movie, so I probably will at some point, maybe 20 years down the road, if I'm still alive, watch The Little Mermaid.
Sounds like me.
By the way, The Flash
things.
Is coming out on June 16th. Does that count as a summer blockbuster?
Right? You can ask me how excited I am for this movie.
I think that it maybe has the potential. I mean, I think that it's hard to, especially right now with the appetite and how everybody kind of, we're not sure where things are going to land and how things are going to go over with people. I think it's really hard to say what is and what isn't going to be a blockbuster at this point in time. And so
that's true. A blockbuster nowadays?
I don't even know.
Something that's expected to make a lot of money.
Is it $1 billion? I mean, is that our new like mark? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is going to make $1 billion.
And that's part one. So that'll be interesting.
One.
We get Dune. Is it this year?
October,
like in November?
I think.
November, October, we get Dune Part 2, which I'm super excited about. I just rewatched the Part 1 and great film, you know, great visuals, great storytelling. So I'm super excited about that. And
I loved the first one. The music's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And I read the book afterwards, too. So I'm just excited to see the second half come together.
Mm-hmm.
They say it picks up right where they left off, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Blue Beetle is also coming out. That's going to be August 18th.
Is that theatrical?
I believe it's theatrical.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that with, you know, The Flash, it's got the potential.
It has potential, especially with Keaton coming back.
Yes, there will be a lot of excitement for that.
But the fact that universe is dead... How is that going to lead into the DCU or?
Well, I think it's a good job to bring Michael Keaton back because otherwise, what's the incentive to see a movie that you know is going to be the last in that?
Yeah.
Especially
time.
With Ezra Miller kind of going off the rails and all his legal problems. you got to bring someone more.
Are they going to try to do what they did in Spider-Man No Way Home, where they're just coming from different universes?
I don't think they're going to be coming from other universes. I think it's going to be the Flash jumping between universes.
Okay.
And he has another Flash or two.
Yeah, because he has at least, well, there's one of him in some way, shape, or form in all the universes that he is visiting. So.
And there's a teenage super person.
Yeah, and it's Supergirl. And I don't think that's right, but it's Kara, I believe, is the name of the superhuman from Krypton. And then we get Zod back from the original Henry Cavill, Man of Steel.
Yep. Cool.
He's a hell of an actor.
He is.
I don't remember what the movie was, but there's a movie where he is like a part of a cult that worships his son, and he's trying to get his son to some destination.
Hmm.
It is so good, and he is such an incredible actor. I'm a huge fan of it. But he's also in Fahrenheit 451, the remake, which is not very good.
It's not really good, but...
Makes me want to watch the original.
Was that the one with Michael B. Jordan, or is that
Yeah.
I thought Michael B. Jordan was pretty good in it, but
he was good. Yeah. It just for some reason didn't flow. I want to watch the original. If they remake 1984, I'm going to be really disappointed because the original was so good and the acting in it, especially at the end, holy crap!
A blockbuster is a Hollywood movie. No, you didn't just take a break. I was just came out of nowhere with a large budget, typically a $100 million budget. So indies, 10 times. No, sorry. Yeah, production budget of at least $100 million.
So it'd be three times.
Typical studio is between $30 and $60
million. Oh.
Huh. So okay. It's basically blowing the box office away with its large profits. They're going to have to do a lot with indie to make it a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have our review sometime in July after we all see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Let's hope it's not Dull of Destiny.
To The Nerd Show. What's that from?
You are, I hope, not asking me, even though you're looking at me, because I couldn't tell you.
Oh. It's a very low-key show.
Oh. Low-key.
Hmm.
Well done, Micah.
Wow.
We're getting that later this year.
Yeah? Although I haven't seen it, or I saw it once and didn't pay enough attention, but I saw reports that there is no reference to Kang in any of the trailer for the new season of Loki.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wait, we're just going to...
Forget it happened?
Ignore that?
Gosh. I wonder if they canceled Jonathan Majors because of his legal issues.
May have, again.
I think he's out as Kang.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He was just in... Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, of course, we're in the cancel culture age. And when you're having... first of all, if you dig up anything on anybody, you'll find skeletons.
Yeah.
But what's happening like now is you're contracted, as you're working and, you know, getting yourself in the naughty side of publicity. I guess how prepared do you think studios are for when they're planning long-term, years-long projects? And how the heck do you recover from that? What's just ignore this, go a different direction, or try to find somebody who looks like them? Rhodey, for example, they changed that from Cuba Gooding Jr. to I am so bad with names. Anyone?
Yeah,
Bueller? I recognize his face.
Yes.
Anyway, but you know, he wasn't a major character though, so
yeah.
You could tell it wasn't the OG from Iron Man, but you had him for all the future, MCU stuff as he wasn't the Falcon.
Yeah, Colonel Rhodes.
Yeah.
Well, he was
War Machine.
War Machine.
Yeah.
So it started off as Terrence.
Yeah, Terrence Stamp.
Oh, that's
Terrence
right. Yeah.
Howard, and then
or Terrence Howard.
Don Cheadle.
And then Don Cheadle. Yeah.
There we go. Not bad.
But Yeah, and well, and part of that was over funds. And, you know, after the first one and it did really well, you know, Terrence Howard said, you know, you need to show me the money because we saw what Robert Downey made and it needs to be equitable. And the studio was like, no, it doesn't. You're a secondary character.
You're not Robert Downey.
You aren't. And so that was where he stepped. You know, and I give him a lot of credit because he felt like that was really, and he's done really well. I mean, he's done a lot of, especially TV shows as of late, that he has really shined and been able to be the star of the show. And so I'm really excited about the fact that he was able to do that.
And yeah, and I think it's good for him, but, like, your character is Rhodes. His character is Iron Man.
Yeah.
Are people going to go to see Colonel Rhodes, or are they going to see Iron Man?
Well, at least he asked for it, though, and good for him for recognizing it, standing up, sticking it up to the the man, if you will. But, you know, looking up at Kang, I mean, everything about this next phase and the one right after in Marvel Cinematic Universe is dealing with Kang.
Well, it was based on that. Yeah, that's the whole, he's the new baddie. And there's, you know, multiple versions of Kang. And so maybe that's how they're going to play it a little bit, that in this new world. I mean, we think about what we saw with Spider-Man, and I liked how they did it because they brought all the characters back and it was Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, along with Tom Holland. So they didn't look the same. They were the same person in different universes. So I think maybe that's the way they go with it. And maybe there's going to be some sort of a, you know, something early on that, you know, throws that off, you know, from a visage perspective or just a visual. And they use some footage from Ant-Man or something else that they had that he just busts out of that in order to be less recognized and to be able to, you know, create peril with Loki. I don't know. Maybe. Hard to say.
Yeah. Well, we saw what happened with Carrie Fisher when she passed early and couldn't be the main original feature in the sequel trilogy. So I don't envy anyone who's got the reins on those giant franchises and something like that throws a massive curveball or a knuckleball even when, by the way, our leading actor passed away.
Well, we just talked about that at the top of the show about, you know, the individual that passed that's literally one of the main baddies in Ahsoka. And I don't know what his story arc is going to look like through the course of the first series, but if he was intended to be an ongoing character as an antagonist in some way, shape, or form, that is going to be difficult for them to kind of work through as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you could reshoot the last episode and have him killed by... But,
potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was young, 58, too.
Yeah.
But...
It was a little bit... a little bit close to home.
Yeah.
When you start getting into your 50s.
Oy. Yeah. Well, let's liven things up in here. How about it, huh?
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about off-air that I'm excited for... We don't know when it's going to hit, but Amazon picked up the sci-fi series The Expanse several years back. And so it was on the Sci-Fi Channel for a couple years, and then Amazon Prime or Prime Video picked it up, and then they took it for the last three seasons. And oh my gosh, such a great, 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 great story.
I thought it was Max.
No.
HBO.
No, it was Amazon.
That was my speculation.
Yes. No, it was on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
It was on Amazon Prime, but it was, like I said, it was on Sci-Fi Channel for the first two or three seasons. And then Amazon Prime picked it up, and it was just
out of 10.
Phenomenal. And I absolutely love it. I think it's one of my most favorite sci-fi series. And outside of anything Star Wars, it absolutely is, and it probably would be up there. I mean, it definitely kicks the Book of Boba Fett's butt up one side and down the other. And I think it holds up really well against Andor and even some of the later seasons of The Mandalorian. It's so good.
Interesting. I'm putting this on my list.
Yeah.
I've already logged in, and I've already put it on my list, and I will start watching it tonight.
Not a lot of recognizable actors either.
No, and I think that's part of it. And it, you know, it's sort of this future Earth, and we've colonized Mars to a certain degree, and you know, there's a civil war going on with the Earthers and the Belters, and the Belters are ones that were born in space and they work in these asteroid belts and they're mining these things, and of course, there's always, you know, there's an extraterrestrial component that comes into it, but there's also just an infighting with all of these other individuals, you know, the Martians and the Earthers and the Belters. And it's just, it's a really good story and there's a good human element to it. And you run into characters that you're like, yeah, there could be people like that. And it reminds me of a a more modern version of Firefly.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why I like it. It's sort of like, it's not Firefly, but it reminds me a lot of Firefly, and it's exactly what I want out of that kind of a show. So.
Is it all drama, or is it more like Firefly?
No, it's more drama. There's a lot less, you know, there's a little bit, there's one character that just reminds you of Jane, but doesn't have the humor side that Adam Baldwin brought to that character. And
I call her Vera.
Yeah. It doesn't have that same element, but absolutely is that same guy. And he is loyal to the end, but will kill you.
That wasn't Jane. Jane
no,
wasn't
he sold
loyal.
Him out.
Yeah, Jane was.
Jane was
so,
loyal
yeah.
to the money.
Well, and this character, and I wish I could remember his name right now. It's been a few years since I've seen it. Was loyal to, you know, the lead female character in the show that ends up being a part of the Rocinante, which is the Martian ship that they end up absconding with. Yeah.
Oi.
Yeah, so.
Why don't you just give me all the secrets now?
No. Trust me. You ain't seen nothing yet. You will definitely enjoy it. I promise.
You'll forget about it by the time the show's over, Mike.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've already forgotten about it.
Don't do that. Don't forget about it.
So you said Jane named his gun Vera. Is that the whole secret to the Expanse?
No, that's in Firefly.
Oh, okay. See, Nick, you were right. I forgot about it.
See? Dun, dun, dun. Jane. Well, Nerdians, thank you so much for tuning in. I think we are at our mark.
There it is.
So, Nerdians, it's been Scott, Micah, and Nick. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for an all-new Nerd Show. You stay nerdy.